Welcome to the Esri and the Science of Wear podcast. When David Yarnold wrote his book, The Geography of Hope, Real Life Stories of Optimists Mapping a Better World, he was looking for people like Jackie Black. Jackie Black teaches geography at Bertha Park High School in Perth, a small city in Scotland. But she uses modern technology to explore this ancient subject. And she's found the difference in the students' response is remarkable. Not only are they more engaged in their own learning, but more importantly, she says, it deepens their understanding of the world.
It just gives the opportunity for much richer conversation and much more genuine discovery-based learning from the pupils, rather than me just giving them a finished map and saying, can you spot the pattern?
Jackie Black describes to Esri's Karen Sullivan the benefits of teaching geography in a more holistic, digital way.
Hello, Jackie, and welcome to the Esri and the Science of Wear podcast.
Hi, Karen. Lovely to chat to you today.
So tell us about your background. Were you a geographer who got into teaching, or was it the other way around?
I'm not sure that it's a totally straightforward answer. I love geography at school and went on to study it at university. And I actually didn't really work out what I wanted to do with that until about 3 months before I graduated. I suddenly realised that I needed a job, and I went and applied to a couple of things, but teaching was my main interest, purely because in my last year at uni, we had done some presentations based on our dissertation, so our big final project, and we actually had been graded on that. And one of the things that I had come out strongly on was my public speaking and being able to get my point across in that kind of format. And a lot of people then had said, oh, you would make a good teacher. So I gave it a go and didn't really know what to think of it to begin with, but very quickly figured out that I actually loved being in the classroom, loved teaching the content that I like, and being able to help kids discover new things about their planet. Honestly, couldn't really imagine doing anything else now.
So that brings us to GIS, or Geographic Information Systems. When did you start using that technology in your classroom? And tell us how that came about.
So I had actually used it a little at uni and had found that quite an overwhelming but a really interesting process, because it was amazing to see what you could do with the data when you see it spatially and visually like that. So I'd found that overwhelming at uni, but then when I came into the classroom, immediately there was obviously a lot for me to learn. So it took me a year or two to get the basics down before I could begin to look out and see what else I could incorporate into my teaching. And I actually went to a big conference that was all the geography teachers in Scotland. And there was a couple of different people presenting at that and teaching workshops. And Esri was one of those presenters. And I met a couple of people that I still keep in touch with today at that conference. And they gave me a very much hands-on, here's something you could do in your classroom tomorrow approach. And I pretty much didn't leave their room. So once I had started that at the first workshop, I very quickly discovered that was where I wanted to spend the rest of the day. Probably the only regret there is that I didn't do it sooner. But that first introduction, I'd love to say I could remember what lesson I did, but I have absolutely no idea what map I first used with them. But I do remember coming away from it and thinking, that's definitely the way I want to go. I want to keep using that in my teaching. It definitely gave me the springboard to be able to then go home and faff about with it an awful lot more in my own time before I was then brave enough to try and use it in the classroom with the kids.
What's the age range of the students in your class?
We teach anywhere from the age of 11 up to 18. And the school that I'm in at the moment and most secondary teachers do teach all of the levels. So I teach anywhere between 11 and 18. And upwards of about 15, 16, that's where it's our exam level classes. So that's where it's crunch time.
And so let's go through how these students learn. You told me that you show them a map and locations where volcanoes and or earthquakes have happened. Describe what happens next.
So in that particular lesson, and in lots of other lessons that I'd use it as like a basic tool, I've got a base map. And often I quite like to go for the kind of black grayed out base map so that the data then shows up really clearly. On top of that, I'll then add on layers of data. So in this case, I've got one checkbox that puts on the tectonic plates. I've got another checkbox that puts on arrows to show what way those plates are moving, and the thickness of the arrow shows how quickly. There's another layer that puts on the volcanoes and another layer that puts on the earthquakes. And generally before, I would have handed kids a finished map. I would have printed that out for them with the boundaries, the arrows, the everything on it, and just said, what's the connection? And quite quickly, to be fair, they would say volcanoes and earthquakes are on the lines, and we would move on to the next chunk. It wasn't like a big part, but I thought it was lacking enthusiasm. So I then put it onto the digital map, and to be totally honest, I didn't really expect it to change what I was doing as much as it did, but it really did completely rewrite the way that I teach that lesson, and it is so much better. So now they have that base map with lots of layers on top, and I will show them it first on the screen. So I'll put just the bare map up to begin with, then I'll show them just the volcanoes, no lines, no nothing, and say, what do you notice about that pattern? And we'll have a discussion as a class. And they can ask questions. And then I'll take that volcanoes layer off and put just the earthquakes on. And some people do quite quickly realise that they're in quite similar locations, but it points out that there's way more earthquakes. And then I take all of that off and put just the tectonic plates up. And they're more able to discuss that and ask questions and be curious about it because it's one thing at a time. And then the thing that's really important is that they're actually able to zoom in and out of the map. So often they'll say to me, what about that one in the middle of the Pacific Ocean? So they're talking about Hawaii. And what we're able to do is I'm almost able to pretend that I don't know. And I zoom in and we click on the volcano and it gives me a name. And we're able to then go and use other devices or talk about it in class to look up what does that volcano look like in real life? What kind of magma does it have? Why might it be on that location and not on a boundary where we would expect it to be? And it just gives the opportunity for much richer conversation and much more genuine discovery-based learning from the pupils rather than me just giving them a finished map and saying, can you spot the pattern? They learned much more about volcanoes and earthquakes and not just why they're located the way that they are, but even just the classification on the map showed that there was various different types of volcano. So that sparked natural questions around it. We zoomed into the UK to find out where our closest volcano or earthquake had been. And all of those things, I literally have taught it as a paper-based map lesson before. And none of those questions happened until I put it on a digital platform like GIS and took it a step at a time. And the thing that I really love about being in a school where we have one-to-one iPads is that not only can I then give them the link to that map and they can go and have 5 minutes to explore it by themselves and they can take it home on their device, they can go and look more if they want to, and it just deepens everything that they've learned about and makes it stand out for them.
And all of this happen whether or not the students have a laptop or an iPad. Can you still go through these exercises and teach the same way?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely made better by them having their own iPad, but it's definitely possible without it. So I actually used to teach in that exact same way in my previous school where I didn't have iPads for every pupil. So I know firsthand that it's definitely possible. There's just not that nice bit of being able to give them the link. But all that rich discussion and all the big main reasons why I like it so much actually comes from that front-facing part when you've got a projector or you've got a touch screen at the front of the room. They don't actually need that device in their hand.
I was surprised to learn that GIS and spatial literacy are part of the British curriculum. Why are these considered so important?
The GIS sits within our BGE, or our Broad General Education, in first to third year. And it's actually as part of one of the geography outcomes or experiences. And I've got it here, actually. It reads, I can use a range of maps and GIS to gather, interpret, and present conclusions, and can locate a range of features within Scotland, UK, and Europe. So I think the bit that's quite interesting there is that they very much see it as part of that learning. It's not its own thing. It's part of learning the rest of geography. And I think that's the key bit for me, that it brings to life the rest of the geography curriculum if you use it with GIS. On top of that, there's obviously so many other benefits for pupils. Just from that discussion that we had a second ago about the volcanoes and earthquakes one, they obviously were asking more questions, they were more curious about everything, and they were ultimately making that step into critical thinking and questioning the map rather than just passively accepting what was on that map. It definitely gives them a bit of an introduction to better digital skills and data skills later too. So we have our pupils actually make story maps to collect lots of information about Magellan's first voyage around the world. And we also have them in later years in examined classes create their own surveys to gather data that they need for their own specific purposes. So I think because GIS is allowing them to think more spatially, to actually solve problems, to see live data and to question it more, and to gain a lot of digital literacy skills along the way, that means that it's a really valuable part of geography. And I'm hoping that as more schools get more access to better IT and maybe a little training on this, that we'll see GIS really begin to take off and maybe in future have its own part of the curriculum that's not so built in to everything else.
So you're actually also teaching spatial literacy at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. Just as part of what we are doing in geography, it's tricky to teach it without naturally covering spatial literacy and getting pupils more comfortable with that. But GIS definitely makes that a lot easier and more in their hands, especially if they do have an iPad and they can access it themselves.
And how do you think these lessons are changing the view of the world for these students?
In a way, I think it maybe makes the world feel a bit smaller for them because they're using the map more frequently. They actually do have a better general awareness of where things are in the world, because that's the platform where we begin our conversations around whatever topic I happen to be teaching. So that's definitely improved. But it's been a really interesting way for me to show data about a whole range of different things. So when I teach development in my higher class, just learning like a stereotype of, oh, the rich north and the poor south, like that's back in the 60s, but often what's, you know, seen on a map. Whereas if we use GIS and up-to-date data on a map and they can zoom in and interpret it themselves and question it themselves, then it means that they're getting a better overall view of the world and hopefully a more up-to-date understanding of how things really are. It just helps them to question everything and really genuinely understand why things are the way they are and not just accept relationships. So I think that really helps.
And teachers must include the teaching of this technology in the curriculum. We know their jobs are already require so much from them. How do you think they are coping? And how much more does this require of them?
Today, obviously, after all of the pandemic and lots of things moving online, teachers have a much better basic ability of all things digital than we did 4 or 5 years ago. So as a jumping off point, I think as a profession, teachers are now in a much stronger position to make that leap to using GIS and are probably more used to trying out something for the first time with a class and accepting that little bit of risk of, oh, this might not work or the Wi-Fi might drop. Those are much more normal considerations now than they maybe were when I started to use this. a really hopeful part of me thinks that this is going to be more accessible to more teachers now. I think it does take a bit of learning. It's not simply a website that you log on to once and you figure it out within 5-10 minutes. You do need someone to show you how to use it as part of a lesson and maybe hold your hand the first time. So definitely diving into YouTube for some tutorials and those kinds of things, and actually finding someone that uses GIS just a little bit more than you and is able to answer those quick questions at nighttime when you're lesson planning, or in the middle of the day when you just can't find that button that you know is there. Having that person is really important.
Thank you so much for talking with us today. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, no problem. It's been lovely to chat to you about it. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Esri and the Science of Wear podcast. And thanks to Jackie Black. You'll find more stories about the extraordinary work done by other extraordinary people in David Yarnold's book, The Geography of Hope, Real Life Stories of Optimists Mapping a Better World. If you like this episode, please share it with a colleague.